Just want to thank God for being here tonight. How many of you glad you just showed up? Amen. I want to tell you something. There's something about, I was thinking about old Doubting Thomas. We know him as far as we always call him Doubting Thomas. And when Jesus was resurrected and he came by in the upper room, Thomas, he wasn't there. He missed out on the fact that they showed him, you know, that he was alive. Well, they tried to convince Thomas that he was alive. He said, unless I put my hands in his side and in his hands, he said, I won't believe. How many of you glad even though he missed church, Jesus still stopped by? Thank God and showed him. Hey, behold my hands. Thank God, behold who I am. And boy, Thomas never doubted again. Let me say this. Best thing you can do sometimes, just show up. You can show up. Oh, God, I don't know. This ain't got nothing to do with the message, but I'm liking it. Sometimes the best thing in your life, listen, when you don't want to show up, is to show up, even though you may not believe, because I promise you this, when Jesus walks by your way, you'll begin to believe a whole lot better than what you came in. Hey, somebody help me. He might have missed the first service, but he caught the second service, and God did something amazing to it. I sure am glad he didn't reprimand him for not showing up. Somebody ought to help me tonight. And I think we ought to be sensitive to that. Amen. Hey, God lets me preach. I'm just thankful God lets me preach to anybody. Amen. But I know this. There's been times I've been here and I hadn't been here. Oh, help me. It's easy to be here and not be here and miss him. But it's also easy to be here and look for him and him show up, meet your needs. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. I want you to go to Mark, if you will, chapter number 3. Mark chapter number 3. Am I okay out there? I sound like I got a ring up here. I don't know what it is. Is everything sounding out all right out there? I think it may be these monitors or something. But Mark chapter number 3, I'm just going to share a simple thought tonight with the help of the Lord. And like I said, I'm the backup quarterback. Somebody say amen. I'm going to sling it. Hope somebody catches it tonight. Praise God. First stringer will be here back Sunday. Say amen. I'm looking forward to my preacher being back. I love them, and I'm thankful they got to go on a little vacation trip. It was much needed, and I know as from a pastor's standpoint, you're never able to leave. You go, but you're not able to leave. Why? Because it's always with you. And I know I'm thankful that they're gone away, and I hope that they get refreshed and refired up and enjoy and put the honey back in the moon. Somebody say amen. That's what's wrong with most of us in here, fellas. We need to put the honey back in the moon. Amen. Come on, all right. Mark chapter number 3, if you're there, holler amen. All right, let's read. I'm going to read just 5 verses, and then I'm going to preach, and then we'll respond to the invitation and ask God to help us, all right? The Bible said, and he entered again into the synagogue. Well, here we go. He entered again. He came by again. Y'all ain't catching that, are you? How many of you glad he comes by again and again? He entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, talking about these Pharisees, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. And those Pharisees, they had a problem, not necessarily with the law, I guess you could say the law of the Sabbath. They had a problem with who the Lord of the Sabbath was. Somebody say amen. And so they were sitting back watching that not might accuse the Lord and criticize him for healing this man on the Sabbath day. And the Bible says here that he saith unto the man, Jesus did, which had that withered hand, stand forth. The Bible said, and he saith unto him, to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? They held their peace, and when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. I thought about that, how this man had a withered hand, and we have no idea, according to Scripture, we don't know how, that he basically got this withered hand. Some say that basically that witheredness may have come from maybe somebody had wounded him. Maybe had a wound that basically paralyzed him in that hand. Luke's account says it was the right hand. And I believe Luke lets it be known that it's the right hand because right-handed people are redeemed. Can I get a witness? Amen. Left-handed people are lost. Amen. I'm just kidding. My wife, y'all pray for me. She's left-handed.
And to be honest with you, I've been praying. I pastored her for over 12 years. And y'all pray, she still ain't got born again yet. Y'all help me now. She needs Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, he had a withered hand. And whether he got wounded somehow and got paralyzed with that withered hand, I have no idea what happened. But I know this, it limited him. One day he probably had two good hands, and the next time you know, something tragically happened in his life, and then he was limited in what he could do in his ability. Are you with me tonight? Say amen. In other words, how many of you are thankful tonight that our limitations don't affect the power of what Jesus can do in our life? We may be limited tonight. The truth is, we are limited tonight. The truth be known tonight, if every one of us would get honest, we're all a withered crowd that needs Jesus' touch. And I thought about this man, and I thought about my own life and how oftentimes it seems like I show up to the house of God and I got more limitations than I'd like to admit. I got more witheredness in my life than I'd like to accept tonight. But thank God, I'm glad to know when I do get honest about who I am with my limitations, that's when things begin to pick up and step up. And I'm glad through that time in my life, I can see Jesus do a marvelous work. Yeah. Somebody say amen tonight. How many of you glad your limitations don't affect what Jesus wants to do? Amen. God, that's good. And I thought about that man's withered hand and how that he was limited. And if I could have a title to the message tonight, it'd be something like this. I may be withered, but praise God, I'm not wasted. Amen. You say, what do you mean by that? God still had a purpose for that man's life. God still had a performance he was going to do in that man's life to restore that hand that was withered so that he could be a testimony of what the power of Christ could do in his life. How many of you are thankful you may be withered tonight, but praise God, you can leave changed. You may be limited tonight, but that does not hinder God and stop God in what God wants to do through your life and mine. I want to give you a few things tonight. How many of you saved ain't ashamed of it? Say amen. Let me say this is a proposition, I guess, for you homileticians tonight, all right? Every one of us that's saved tonight can be used to God in spite of our limitations. In spite of them. Can I say to you, if you're waiting to get all of your witheredness taken care of and fixed up and perked up and whatever you want to call it, if you're waiting on that for God to use you, you're going to be disappointed tonight. I'm glad that, thank God, you may come in tonight and you may be going through a struggle in your life and you may have a limitation in your life you don't want nobody to know of. Can I tell you this? He already knows you here and he knows what he can do. I need somebody to help me tonight. He knows what he can do with your life, even though you're limited. You say, preacher, well, what do I do? Well, I'm going to show you a few things tonight. I believe we can notice some things about this man's life, this withered man's life, that'll encourage us to know that even though we have limitations, and even though we're withered, guess what? We don't have to live a wasted life. I don't know about y'all, but I want to finish right. How about y'all? I don't want to be a statistic. God saved me over 20 years ago. And I'm telling y'all, I done told y'all, God saved the pudding out of me. Y'all know what the pudding out of me means? That means, listen to me, I didn't get just a little dab, like a little dab of Brill Cream, amen? I didn't just get a little dose of what God could do. My life was a mess, y'all hear me? My life was a wreck and ruin. And man, I had a heavy weight of sin on my life. I had a heavy burden and guilt on my life. But I sure am glad at that day in the middle of that 6 acres of property, thank God I knelt, thank God the blood fell, and hey, God started doing some things and taking care of some witheredness in my life. Amen. And he's not done. I wish to be honest with you tonight, I wished at that moment that I got saved, God removed all of my limitations. That's the way I wanted it. I'll be honest with you, I thought that's the way this thing worked when I came to Jesus. I came to Jesus, he forgave all my sin. Praise God, I'd never have any strongholds, I'd never have any struggles. Are y'all with me? I wanted to live life just, praise God, munching on strawberries and whipped cream. Can I get a witness? Chocolate-covered strawberries, all right? Seriously, selling this life, loving Jesus. But found out, you know what I found out? This old wicked, rotten flesh is still on me. Are y'all with me? And here's what I decided to do. I decided just, if I couldn't do anything, all I knew, I didn't know much about the scriptures. I didn't know much about church, just from my raising. I didn't know a whole lot of things. Didn't even know really how to pray. But I did know how to do this. Show up to the house of God. It's all I knew how to do. And praise God, out of that, thank God, God's changed my life. And I thought about that man and how he had a withered hand in his life and how that Jesus would take that man and he would change his life forever. Can I say to you tonight, you may be withered, but praise God, you're not wasted. And there's a few things I want you to observe tonight in this passage of Scripture. First of all, it's found in verse number 1. I want you to notice this about that man's life. I want you to notice the decision that he made to worship. The decision that he made to worship. The Bible said he entered again into the synagogue, which talking about Christ, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. In other words, he was there where? At the synagogue. That synagogue was a place of worship, and it was a place of instruction of the Word of God, symbolic of the place of the church house, so to say, in that time. That man showed up that day, and I read behind one author, and he said this. He tried to make a good point. He said basically what he said about that. One writer said that he was planted there by the Pharisees because the Pharisees were trying to tempt Jesus, basically, to heal him on that Sabbath. So they planted that man there. I understand that, and I'm not going, because we don't really know what happened, but I believe that not only, I don't think he was necessarily planning there, I think he was persistent in being there. You say, what do you mean? I believe that old boy showed up enough to where them Pharisees took note. Oh God, this is good. Them Pharisees took note that if he was there and Jesus was going to come by, guess what? Jesus would probably touch that man's life. Why? Because he was persistent. Somebody ought to help me tonight. In other words, that old boy, you know what he did? He decided even though he had a withered hand, praise God, he showed up to the church house. Yeah. Are y'all with me tonight? Amen. Hey, there's something about just showing up at the house of God. Thank God that God steps in and begins meeting your needs. That old boy didn't know a whole lot. He knew he was limited, but yet his limitation, thank God, didn't keep him from getting to the church house. Y'all need to help me tonight. Are y'all with me tonight? And listen, here's how we operate most of the time. We don't want to come because of our limitation. We don't want nobody to know we got troubles. We don't want nobody to know that we are jacked up. Can I get a witness? But you know what old boy did? He just made a decision. He's going to go worship. Think about this. He made a decision that he was going to go worship in spite of his handicap. No doubt that old boy probably was ashamed of it. I don't know about you, but if I had some type of crippleness in my life, I guess I wouldn't want to kind of display it that much. Are y'all with me? I'd want to kind of hide it, I guess you could say. But how many of you know tonight you can't hide nothing from Jesus? He already knows how limited you are tonight. Oh, I need some help tonight. He already knows how withered you are tonight. And guess what? You showed up. You know what that means? That's the first step. Praise God to getting your witheredness made whole. I need somebody to help me. He just decided he was going to go worship in spite of his handicap. In spite not only of his handicap, he decided to worship, but in spite of the hardened critics. Say, what do you mean by that? There was a crowd in there that wasn't looking for that man basically to have his life changed so that they could rejoice that he was healed. Are y'all with me? They were critical of what Jesus was going to do so they could catch him healing that man on the seventh day. The Bible said they were watching. You know why? Because the religious crowd are watchers and not worshipers. I need a good amen right there. You can tell those that, oh, I don't mean to be mean, but y'all, hey, y'all know y'all's preachers, y'all, our preachers got the gift of prophecy, and praise God, he go, amen. I've been hanging around him a little long, all right? But I want you to listen to me tonight. You think about this, that old boy, he had a handicap that he went to the house of God just to worship. He decided to show up and he decided that he was going to worship. But yet there was a crowd there that was hardened to what Jesus really wanted to do in that boy's life. Do you realize tonight you got some critics around here that notice your handicap? Oh my goodness. And they want to just talk. I've been around Baptists long enough. Y'all don't lie to me. Come on. They know that you're withered. And all they want to do is, look how bad your life is. That old boy, look at him. Look how bad he is. Let me just say something to you tonight. Look how bad I really am. go ahead, point out my flaws. That's all right. Amen. Be critical of who I am. That's okay. I'm all right. I'm past that. Because you know why? I didn't come for you. I didn't come tonight to preach to you. I didn't come to sing to you. I didn't come to be seen of you. I'll tell you why I came tonight. Because praise God, His name is Jesus. And He came by my way and saved my old sorry hide. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to worship Him anyhow. We've been here since, what, August? And I want to say thank y'all. Y'all been so good to us, seriously. If some of y'all really don't like us, you got a hard way of showing us, because you sure do. You sure enough love on us. Some of us, some of you I ain't figured you out yet because you kind of, you know. But since I've been here, the Holy Ghost told me to run twice. And the second time, told me to run two times. And praise God, let me tell y'all something. Come on. I done jumped back on the elliptical. Because I done gained about 15 pounds since we've been here. And me and God done had a talk. And I said, you're going to do that to me again, praise God, I got to lose some weight. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. Two laps, one lap around here wear you out. Two laps, sure enough, wear you out. But I sit there the whole time that morning. I'm telling you, that last time I ran, glory to God, how many of you remember that Sunday? Amen. And I was holding on. About that time, I couldn't take it anymore. I took off. And listen, that ain't the first time I've run. I don't run often. Praise God, when I do, I'm going to get the goody out of it. Can I get a witness? Amen. Put my running shoes on like old Forrest Gump. Can I get a witness? And I took off running. But let me say something. That might have bothered some of y'all. But it didn't bother me. That might have stirred up some of the religious crowd in here. That's good that you do get stirred up. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I say to you tonight, I might take me another lap tonight just to, glory to God, let you know how I really saved, I really am, and I'm ashamed of it because God did the work in my life. He just decided to show up and worship. I can't tell you how many times. Let me say, listen to me now. Just because I'm a God-called preacher don't mean that was why I was running. Just because I'm the associate pastor here and I know it's probably going to encourage my preacher, that ain't why I was running. I'm running because one day Jesus ran into me. Hey! And God put a pep in my step because I ain't got over what I'm under. Somebody say amen. And if I can't do nothing, I can do one thing. I can come to the house of God, withered and all, messed up and all, and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the least I can do. The least I can do. And I can't tell you how many times, Brother Dalton, I've sat in that seat and I've heard your daddy preach time and time and time again and struggle with my limitations. Sit there and be reminded of how withered I am. But I worshiped anyhow. Or do y'all realize we don't deserve to do this? Mm-mm. We don't deserve to stand and sing that song, I am redeemed. See, I can't do it as good as Jake, but praise God. He set me free. That ought to do something to y'all tonight. If that don't do something to you, there's something wrong with you. You need to be born again tonight. Amen. If that doesn't stir you, praise God, something's wrong. Maybe your heart's done gotten hardened so much, you need the Holy Ghost to come by and break that hardness up and rejoice in what God's doing in this place. I remember several years ago, many, 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 many years ago after I got saved, I went to Victory. Man, it was a great place to be. I mean, glory to God. Preacher, he'd just get up and open his Bible and everybody go to shouting. There was one man in there that they'd call to preach. I never knew what he said. He would come preach Bible college. I never got a word what he said, but I was enjoying watching him do it. Glory to God. He'd throw her in low gear and burn the back tire off. I'm talking about just, turn purple, look like he's going to explode. And I was liking it. Couldn't understand it. He was from Georgia, too. He was from up north Georgia, y'all know. Couldn't understand what he said. But I remember going to an old camp meeting in Greer. What was it, Greer? Is that South Carolina? They have old camp meeting there every year. And what was it, Billy Kelly used to run that camp meeting. And I remember the first time I ever went up there. That sawdust on the ground. Boy, if you ain't ever been a part of something like that, we had one this past. How many of you, praise God, enjoyed that this last year? I think we ought to give God some praise because he done some major things in my heart through that meeting. But that camp meeting, man, it was that first night I went, I remember I think we were all together. And we were sitting about middle ways, and man, it started getting good. Y'all know what good means? I'm talking about good. I'm talking about the wind was blowing, and I'm not talking about the outside wind. I'm talking about Holy Ghost wind was just blowing through that place during the worship time. And I'm sitting there, and boy, I could tell it was getting good. And about that time, I heard somebody go, "Wow!" And I thought, dear God, what was that? Scared me half to death like it did some of y'all just then. Just, "Wow!" And I looked over the back like that right there. And listen, no lie, there was a young man about 20-something years old. He was in a motorized wheelchair. He'd never walked a day in his life. Are y'all listening to me? He couldn't even use his legs and halfway had some use of his hands, but he could sure enough use that voice. And he would take it. Well, here's what he'd do. This is what really stirred me. He'd push that thing and he'd get that thing going. He'd go down a little while and he'd spin that thing 360, buddy. And he'd stop in the middle of it and he'd go, "Woo!" He'd run down a little bit more. He'd stop in that sawdust. He'd spin that thing around. Glory to God, he went down to the altar down there and he went back and forth, back and forth. He'd stop and he'd go, "Woo!" Just glorify God. And you know what the Holy Ghost did? Sit right down in my heart and said, "What's your problem?"
Right.
"You got two." Glory to God. I feel the Lord on that. "You got two good legs, two good hands, two good feet, two good arms." That old boy, look at him all jacked up on the outside, him praising God for what he done on the inside.
Amen.
I had no excuse not to praise God. Are y'all with me tonight? That old boy, and listen, my life forever got changed that night. I told God I wasn't going to hinder, thank God, my praise from what he done. I don't care. I don't care what it does to this religious crowd. I don't care if you like it or not. Praise God. I got something on the inside that God done. Thank God that's changing the outside. And the least I can do. They show up to the house of God in spite of my witheredness and worship. Let me ask the question, what's your problem? "Yeah, but when I get there, preacher, I will." No, go ahead. Scare your neighbor there that you sit inside half to death. Seriously. If it's your mama, embarrass your mama. Somebody say amen. Just embarrass them. My mama used to embarrass me all the time on the ball field. I think I shared that with y'all. She would. I'd be out there on the ball field, and my mama would be the only one up there screaming like a Comanche Indian. "That's my boy! That's my boy!" I mean, seriously, I hated it. I was like, "Mama, shut up. I'm supposed to be cool." Seriously. "That's my boy!" I'd strike out, man. I'd strike out. Wouldn't even hit the ball. "That's our boy! You get him next time! Woo! That's my boy! That's my boy!" Even when I struck out, I was still hers. Even when I hit a base hit, yeah. But even when I struck out, I was still hers. Are y'all with me? And she praised me anyhow. Somebody ought to thank God tonight we ain't in hell and God's still giving us the ability to praise Him. Somebody ought to rejoice tonight. Thank God even in spite of your limitations and your witheredness. Guess what? Y'all decide tonight you're going to worship. We've been here since August. And some of you, I ain't seen you worship yet. Why not? I promise you this, if this wasn't a place that had liberty to worship, I wouldn't have moved my family down here. I sure enough would have scared y'all half to death. I know what it is. You focus more on your limitation than your Lord. God, that's good. I'm glad I came tonight for that. We focus more on a limitation than the Lord. Won't you turn loose? You say, "Yeah, but it ain't changed yet." Exactly right. Yet. "Yeah, but you don't understand." Don't have to. Just going to show up and worship anyhow. How many of you were here during that revival we had back when Brother Jason came? That's one of the greatest, to me, greatest probably services I've ever been in when it come to God helping me. And we've been in some great moves of the Lord. Y'all hear me? We've got to see things. Seriously, I'm amazed that God's allowed me to see any of this. But that one night, God touched me in a special way, and I ain't got over it. And I walked in withered. But I walked out whole. I don't know. You say, what? I don't know. I can't explain it. All I did that night was I decided I was just going to show up and worship the Lord. And God stepped by, came by my way and touched me. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. Thank God. How many of you glad? In spite of being limited and withered, thank God if you'll show up and worship anyhow. He might just come by and touch you one more time, again and again and again.
Amen.
And God did something special for me. Special. And I ain't got over it, don't plan on it. How many of you are thankful He'll stop by and do something special for you? I see it. I'm done. I got more of it. I can give you my outline afterwards. But I think we've heard enough tonight. Because all of us are limited. Caitlin, if you'll come, I'm just gonna give them to you real quick, the next two points. I'm gonna preach sub points, all that kind of stuff. But you'll see that Jesus, He got angry with that religious crowd.
That's right.
I'd hate to know I came to church and Jesus was angry with me.
That's right.
All because I was focused on somebody else, what they had on, what they looked like, what they said. I can't help it, Brother Dalton, pastoring. Glory to God. If you could just preach, man, it'd be the greatest thing since sliced bread. But anywhere there's people, there's always problems. And we're not fighting against one another. How many of you know that? We ain't fighting against one another. It ain't one another. It's principality. Satan's trying his best to cause division. He's been doing it for a long time. He's real good at it. I got a phone call one night when I was pastoring. Listen to me now, I seen this man that called me. I saw God change this old boy. I saw God intervene in his family's life, began to put his family back together and began to save his kids, doing a great work. They were coming to the church, been there for a pretty good while. He called me up one night, we're talking. It's actually right before I was supposed to go preach. It's usually the way it happens. And he began to share with me, "Preacher, have you not seen how so-and-so's looking at my wife?" I don't care. I mean, that's not what I'm focused on. When he was all mad and all tore up about it. "Oh, so-and-so, you can't see it? Last few times we've been to church, so-and-so, she keeps looking. You ain't seen that look she's given my wife?" I said, "Let me tell you something. Let's stop." I said, "When I go to church, I ain't looking for nothing but Jesus. And if you keep looking for, if you come to church and you're looking for anything other than Jesus, you're going to find it every time." And I said, "I can't do nothing about that. Truth is, hey, if that bothers you that bad, sit on the other side, don't look at her." Are y'all with me tonight? Can I say this? Hey, half the time if us preachers would look, stay focused on the crowd out here, God, y'all discourage us all. And I tell it, man, the truth is, I never came back to church. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what I've decided? And I decided a long time ago. He's worthy. I don't deserve none of this. And I ain't going to let no religious crowd keep me away from what God wants to do in my life. I'm not going to let that wasteful crowd that all they want to do is cause division and strife and turmoil. Hey, listen to me. It's been a long journey. There's been a lot of things that I've had to go through. There's been a lot of hurt that I've had and my family has. But praise God, I'm glad to stand before you tonight to know, thank God, in spite of all of it, He sure has been good. Sure has been good. But that old boy, you know what he did? He just decided he's going to worship. And then he just displayed his worthiness, or his witheredness. Say, "What do you mean?" Jesus says, "Stand forth." And that kind of bothers me because I'm thinking this is a crowd of people. But yet he asked him to step out in front of the crowd with the very limitation that he had. But do you realize Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved? He was not, listen to me, he was not challenging that young man to stretch forth his hand because he wanted to condemn him for his limitation. He wanted him to stretch it out because this would be a display of what the power of Christ could do. He wanted it out in front of everybody. Let everybody know, yeah, you may think he's withered. Yeah, he does look jacked up, and he is jacked up. But I'm fixing to show you who I am and what I can do. But he had to display it. You know why it's important for you to get out of your seat tonight and come to this altar? So you can display your witheredness. So you can take the next step to being made whole. Somebody ought to help me tonight. You say, why do you keep giving an invitation Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Preachers always ask you to come because it's that one step that'll change your life. I guarantee you say, I don't have to come to this altar. No, you don't have to. You can stay in your seat. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll miss out on a lot of things God wants to do in your life. Stepping out, he just stepped out. You know what he did? He displayed it. And then there was the deliverance that he witnessed. Jesus said, stand forth. He said, stretch forth thine hand. Boy, I like this. Stretch forth thine hand. How many of you believe that Jesus could have spoke to his hand and healed it? Come on, y'all. God's able to speak the world into existence. He sure enough can do that. But he said, stretch forth thine hand. It was a command. He didn't ask him to. He said, stretch forth thine hand. He commanded him. And by faith in what Jesus was saying, y'all come on, help me. By faith in what Jesus was saying, he stretched forth and his hand was made whole like the other. Why is it so hard for us just to obey God? Because we focus on our limitations. I don't know about y'all tonight, but I'm not a rocket scientist, y'all can tell. I did graduate. Somebody say amen, all right? I'm not a great theologian. I'm amazed at Brother Robbie. He just amazes me. He's got a great mind. Got a great preacher in the house of God here. We ought to thank God for that. Amen. But I know this. I don't know much. But I think, just like Jesus told the disciples to fill the water pots with water, I think I can probably stretch forth some things. Ain't that hard? Hard part's making the decision to do it. But when you do, you'll be amazed at what the power of Christ can do. Somebody help me tonight. Thank God for that. I'm going to share one more thing and then we're going to pray. I don't know. It's been a long time. I think it was around about the time I surrendered to preach. I think it was before I surrendered to preach. I hate to even admit this. Brother Dalton, I had something in my life that I struggled with for over a year. And I'm sharing this to help you tonight. I had a limitation that I struggled with over a year. God kept telling me, stretch forth thine hand. And I wouldn't do it. I hung on to it. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you what your crippleness will do if you hang on to it. It'll cripple you. You do one or two things when you hurt. You either cast it or you carry it. Are y'all with me? You're either going to cast it or you're going to cling to it. And when you cling to it, what's crippling you is going to cripple you. Are y'all with me? For a solid year. Man, I struggled with it bad. I was so mad. I got disappointed with myself. I got so bad. I got so mad at myself because I had limited my own self. Thank God, I sure am glad. There was a day I finally stretched forth my hand and said, I'm tired of it. I finally said, I'll give it over to you, God. I'm tired of it. Can I tell you tonight when I released it, thank God, it's gone and God has done something in my life. Praise God. Don't you tell me he ain't real. Don't you tell me he ain't good. Don't you tell me he ain't able. He is. He sure is. But he's a perfect gentleman. You can stay in your seat if you want to. And you can walk out with her. walk out just like he came in. You can say, I'm tired of it. And I don't care if I got to get out of my seat and let everybody see. I may have some things wrong with me. I'm going to make my way to Jesus and see what Jesus can do. You may be with her tonight, but guess what? You're not wasted. God's going to use that thing as a testimony. Think about that old boy. He wasn't able to use both hands. But when Jesus touched him, he was able to do things that he used to not could do. And he was able to display a testimony of the power of the grace of God. Why don't you do that tonight? Let's all stand. And while she sings something, maybe you want to sing something, Caitlin. How many of you make your way at the altar tonight? Maybe bring your limitation, bring your witherness to the Lord, and let God do something about it tonight. How about it? Bless His holy name. Bless His name. Come on. Don't stay in your seat. Come on. He loves you tonight. He cares for you tonight. He's the only one that can take care of it. He's the only one that can do anything about it. He's the only one that can touch you by His power. He's the only one. He's the only one. Nobody else has the power in this place but Jesus. Nobody else has the ability than
Jesus.
Why don't you come, bring your witherness, display that witherness in your life. Maybe you've been saved a long time. Truth is, your worship's not like what it used to be because of something in your life you've hung on to. Why don't you tell God tonight, number one, you're sorry, but number two, you're going to praise Him anyhow. You're going to walk out of this place, and in spite of your limitations, you're going to praise Him anyhow. You're going to praise Him at work. You're going to praise Him at home. You're going to come, and on Sunday, you're going to bring your worship with you because of what He's done for you through the week. Listen, don't let the devil get in that situation and try to tell you you'll always be limited. Jesus don't care about you. Yes, He does. He cares just for you. Thank God for that tonight. Come on. Many are on the altar tonight. Come on.
Well, I'm nobody special. I'm no ruler or king. This whole world doesn't know who I am.
Wrote this down in my notes. Most needful person in the room.
But Jesus walked.
The most needful person in that room was the most noticed by Jesus.
Fights my battles.
Hey, some people need the Lord tonight. Why don't you come? You know what you need.
As small as I am.
You've never been saved tonight. You need to be saved. He's calling you. Come.
Sometimes it's hard.
Sometimes it's hard
to walk in His footsteps.
Sure it is.
But when I know it's hard.
When I stumble, thank God He understands.
He understands.
Yes, He does. Come on.
He picks me up, wipes off my sin, puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me as small as I am.
Some are still praying. I wonder, would you bow your heads tonight? Close your eyes for a moment. I want you to be honest with yourself tonight. Seriously, I want you to be honest with yourself tonight, honest with me, and honest with the Lord. How many of you could say, be honest about it, say tonight, Lord, preacher, I walked in, be honest with you, I've been walking in here lately time and time again, more focused on my limitations than on what the Lord can do with it and for it. But I have to admit tonight, God sure has helped me. And I don't want to walk out of here withered. I want to walk out of here whole. I want to walk out of here letting Jesus, and He has done something in my life tonight. And I have brought that need to the Lord. And I want to thank God for it. I want to worship Him for it tonight. How many of you can raise your hand tonight all over the building and say, that's me? Praise the Lord. I raise my hand tonight. I promise you that. Thank you. You can put it down. How many of you can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, some are still praying, you spend as long, just spend as much time as you need. We ain't in no hurry. But I wonder tonight, how many of you could say beyond a shadow of a doubt, preacher, I know that I know that I know I'm saved. There ain't no doubt. If I was to die, I'm 100% sure that heaven's my home. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm saved, and I ain't ashamed of it. How many of you can throw your hand real high? I'm talking about throw it up real high. Don't be ashamed. I'm saved. I ain't ashamed of it. Jesus, thank God, is my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Look at all them hands. Thank you. You can put them down. Thank you very much. What about you tonight? Maybe you couldn't raise your hand a moment ago. I want to pray for you. You may be in this room tonight. You may have never been saved, and that's all right. I know how you feel. I've been there. I know what it's like to be in church and not be saved, but I also know what it's like to be in church and be saved. God will save you tonight. I wonder, would you let me pray for you? Would you slip your hand up? I'm not going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to come to you. But I wonder, would you slip your hand up tonight? Anybody in the building tonight say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Just throw your hand up and say, I couldn't raise my hand up a while ago, and I know I need to be saved. Anybody else? Listen, if you raise your hand tonight, I got good news for you. He wants to save you right where you're at. He loves you. Let me tell you how much God loves you. He loved you enough that 2,000 years ago He sent His only begotten Son to die for your sin. He knows. He knows everything about you. He knows you cannot live this life without Him. I want to let you know tonight, God will save you right where you're at. Would you tell God something like this? Say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry, Lord, that I've done all those wicked things. Lord, I'm asking you to come into my heart, and I'm asking you to save me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Listen, if you'll tell Jesus something like that, God will save you tonight. How many of you believe that, church? Got to save them tonight. Listen, I'm going to pray for you just like I said I would. But as I pray, would you pray that prayer and mean business with God? If you'll mean business with the Lord, He'll save you right where you're at tonight. Father, I pray for this young lady. I pray, God, that you'll teach. Lord, you spoke to her already. God, she's got enough faith that she raised her hand to identify she needed to be saved. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, as she calls on you, God, I pray, Lord, give her the strength to call on you to be saved. What better place to be saved than at the church house with God's people? God, I pray that, Lord, that you'll touch her heart. Lord, let her know that, God, that you're able to save her. And God, as she calls on you, God, that the peace of God, Lord, will fill her soul. God, I remember how it was that very day I got saved. I didn't even know how to pray. Didn't even have anybody lead me in a prayer. But all the joy that flooded my soul. Thank God, Lord, that day you moved in, I knew something was different. So I am glad that I understood what forgiveness was all about and the love of God. I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, touch them, help them. Head still bowed, eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, God just saved you. And I want to rejoice with you tonight. I really do. You're in a great place. Listen, you don't have to be ashamed tonight. But I wonder, would you just look up at me and say, just look at me. You don't have to say anything, but if you ask the Lord to save you tonight, would you just look up at me? How about it tonight? Would you look at me tonight as a testimony of what Jesus has done? Don't be ashamed. We'll help you every way we can tonight. How about it? We're going to pray in just a moment. We're going to end the service, and here's what I want you to do. If you ask the Lord to save you tonight, we've got a book we'd love to give you. It says, Now That I'm Saved, spend a little time with you, all right? I'm going to spend a little time down here at the altar, and I'd love for you to come down. Let me pray with you and rejoice with you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for loving us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for letting us go to church for a little while. Thank you for how you've helped us. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you for your spirit. And I pray, God, as we go out throughout the rest of the week, God, we'll let people know how good you've been to us. God, I want to thank you for Calvary. I want to thank you for this place. God, what it means to me and my family. God, Lord, we left the very thing that we loved. God, to come and be where you wanted us to be. And Lord, you let us fall in love with these people and fall in love with this ministry. But most importantly, God, you've helped us fall more in love with you. And God, I want to thank you, Lord, in spite of our limitations, God, you're always able to meet every need. And I pray, God, some folks have gotten help tonight. Lord, I pray for our preacher, Miss Michelle. God, you'll give them traveling mercies, Lord, on the road as they come back. And I pray you'll help them to have a good time. God, I pray that you'll just take and, Lord, rekindle him and refresh him so that he can continue to feed us. What we need is we continue to serve you. We'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. And somebody give God some praise tonight if you're glad you come to church. Amen. And God help you.